What's going on, Tan and J Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's November 3rd, 2025. Hope to everybody that's listening in Indiana set their clocks back. Depressing, J Man. I climbed the stairs to get up here, looked outside. I'm like, it is pitch black.
Yeah.
31 Eastern time.
Yeah. It is kind of depressing. I mean, I got home at around 4:30 Central Time, and the sun was already below the trees. I am thankful that it's not pitch black driving to work like it has been for me since really October 1st. And but yeah, the early sunsets are not ideal.
Now, is there a time of year do you ever have a time of year where it's you go to work, it's dark? You get home, it's dark, or do you kind of miss that being on Central Time?
I miss that, which is nice. Yeah, I just miss it. I mean, today it was, I think the closer it gets to obviously December 21st or whenever the, you know, shortest day of the year is, I think it'll be fairly dark when I leave for work, but it'll be light by the time I get there. And then when I get home, it'll probably be pretty close to dark. So that's as close as it can get. But luckily I'm not in that, not on that schedule, because that would be the worst.
So I remember, like, when we were in high school and stuff during the winter sports, especially, which neither, I guess I played 1 year winter sports. I know you were spring sport athlete, but I remember that 1 year I played basketball. You got to school, it was dark. By the time practice was over, it was dark. You didn't see daylight.
Yeah.
Much in your basketball season. So.
Yeah, and it's not like in high school we had recess or anything where we could actually get outside at all. So it was, yes. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, but enough of us sounding like old men. You have birdie or bogey for me, yes, so I can get another bogey on my resume for 2025.
The college basketball season starts today. In fact, there was a game that tipped off at 7 o'clock Central Time this morning.
Yeah, what was up with that?
It was the Field of 68 Invitational or tourney or whatever it was. Yeah. So I don't know if there was just games throughout the day or what. But yeah, it was Winthrop against Queens University. I think it was Queens University. And I literally got on one of my apps today just to see when like the first games tipped. I'm like, there's a game in the second half already. And it was like 8:30 in the morning. So that was kind of fun. But college basketball does start today. And I do have a college basketball related question. Can you name the last national player of the year to win the national title that same season?
Ooh.
And I will give you a hint if you'd like it.
Sure. I need a little help I can get.
They beat a Big Ten team in the national title game.
Okay.
So, birdie or bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine, cocktails, located 703 Main Street in Rochester. Go check them out.
Yep. Saturday, their specials. I think it was the same that they had last week, I believe. Artichoke crab dip. And they also had hake. Yeah, they might not have had hake last week, but I know that's been a special of theirs a lot lately, which is a fried fish right there. So let's see. Let's vote on the poll they have here, J-Man, on Facebook. Ooh. Would anyone be interested in a wine and sign night? It would be picking one from multiple signs to make and a wine tasting Thursday evening, Friday evening, or Saturday evening.
None of those dates work for me because I live 2 hours away.
just pick it. Pick one of them.
I would say Saturday probably works for most people.
Saturday evening is not winning. All right.
Figured.
Yeah, it's nice that Facebook brought that feature back for a while. They got rid of the polls. So
forgot about that.
Yeah, we might have to use that to the Tin and J Man Show Facebook page advantage there. So give us a follow and a like if you haven't already. And we're at Tin and J Man Show on all social media platforms. And I haven't plugged this in a while. And if that's a free way you can support our podcast, but if you want to support a podcast with in a monetary way, Tin and J Man Show store.com. You can get your Tan and J-Man Show merch, which we've had that up there for a little while now, but I've done a bad job of getting new merch on the store. So maybe I'll get in the creative spirit here in the next month or so and get some new designs, but we'll see.
If you want to get real creative, you could just Venmo me at Josh-Munt on Venmo. So,
oh, there you go. There's your Venmo out into the world now.
Yep.
I hope some scammer gets it and just
probably
not really. I hope that doesn't happen. That'd be awful.
Probably will happen. Yeah.
But we got a lot going on tonight. It's our Big Ten basketball preview show, one of our favorite shows of the year. We got a lot of college football to talk about. We got a lot of NFL. We got our weekly segments. But first, we got to talk a little bit about that Game 7 of the World Series.
That was wild. That was, I mean, I obviously a huge Cubs fan and watched, you know, that Game 7. I think this Blue Jays-Dodgers one was more intense.
It's close. I mean, the play after play after play, but
yeah,
I still think 2016, just given it was the Cubs. If it was any other team, no.
Yeah. Yeah, and why I say it's more intense, I mean, Blue Jays are up one entering the ninth inning, give up a solo homer to tie it to a guy that hit, I think, six all season, Miguel Rojas.
Yep.
And then in the bottom of the ninth, I mean, base is loaded, one out. You get a chopper to second, and man, beat IKF at the plate by a millimeter.
He about fell when he threw it.
Yeah, yeah. He started stumbling back a little bit, and if he would have just ran through or slid head first, I think the Blue Jays win the World Series, and he gets there. But he didn't, and he slid. It's very rare that they teach you to slide feet first into home because, for one, it's hard to get your foot on the plate because it's you know, flush with the ground. So your feet can hit and it kind of kick up and you miss the plate and all of that. And it was a bonehead move, essentially, by Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. And then they were able to get out of it on a ball that was hit in the gap to the wall that Andy Páez made a fantastic catch where he took out his own left fielder. It was just wild.
Yeah, it was. And then Will Smith
gets
the go-ahead homer for the Dodgers.
Yeah, and then I don't ever remember watching a World Series where, for one, it ended on a double play. But two ended on a double play with a tying run at third. It was so intense and wild, and everyone's rooting against the Dodgers. I know I was rooting against them. But, hey, you got to – even though they, you know, $700 million men out there, essentially, they have some grit and they have some fight, and they found a way to get it done. Mookie Betts said the ninth inning was the most nervous he's ever been on a baseball field, which makes sense. I mean, that was – the stakes in that inning and the 10th inning were astronomical. And credit to the Dodgers winning back-to-back, first team to win back-to-back since the Yankees did from 98 to 2000. And they'll be right back there again next season, I imagine.
Yeah, and Toronto you think will be good again. But, like, that city, I guess they did have the Raptors win it not too long ago. But I was going to say, besides that, that city is just full of sports heartbreak. I mean, they love their Maple Leafs, but the Leafs haven't done anything since the 60s.
Yeah, that was as heartbreaking of a Game 7 of a World Series, really, that I can remember a team having, a fan base having. But the interesting thing about the Blue Jays is they did very little this past offseason to improve their roster. And the thing is, they won 74 games last year.
Yeah,
and so it just shows year to year, you just don't know. So you'd assume the Blue Jays would be very good again, but their pitching staff's a year older. George Springer will be 37. You just don't know. It's a crapshoot in baseball. I mean, I think we had them both finishing fourth or fifth in the American League East heading into the year. So they're the best team in the AL, and they were so close to win in the World Series for the first time since 93. But again, you can't really take it for granted. I mean, Vlad was crying afterwards, which I don't blame him. I mean, they were so, so close. You never know if you'll get another opportunity.
Yeah, I remember back in, like, May, they were already 10 games out of the division. We kind of ran them off. We're like, eh.
They got hot. Eh.
And then they got hot. And look.
Yeah. And another thing is Bo Bichette's a free agent, and he had a fantastic year with the bat. Can't play short at all. He's terrible defensively. And they had to pinch run for him because he's hurt right now, and he was kind of hobbling around the base pass. But they likely will lose him. Their farm system's not great.
Monfret out in Colorado will offer him a record deal just because his dad –
Just that, and he's a big name, which is kind of what they did for Chris Bryant. That,
exactly.
To kind of show, hey, see, we're trying here.
No doubt in my mind, they'll try to get him. Will they get him? Sure. I don't know, but they'll try.
If it's a lot of money, Bo will probably take it. But I wouldn't be surprised if Bo looks for a different opportunity.
Well, yeah. Why would you want to go play there? My gosh, you're not going to win. So yeah.
Now, as one of our friends would say, the real season starts, the off season. Technically, I think free agents can start signing on Thursday, but that's never the way it is in baseball. So we'll see some more news, and who knows what this offseason will be like. I don't know if it'll be a flurry of moves because of the potential lockout next year, or if owners and teams will want to play it safe because you don't know about the potential lockout next season. So it'll be a fascinating offseason to watch, and hopefully it doesn't drag like it has the past couple of years. Last year wasn't bad. The year before wasn't too bad. But the year before that, I mean, it was January, and we still had a ton of big names out there that hadn't signed. So hopefully it'll be hopefully we'll get some good movement here in the next month or so.
Well, I'm glad we have a baseball walking encyclopedia in yourself here as part of the 10 and J-Man Show, and you'll keep 10 and J-Man Show Nation up to date with what's going on.
I'll keep y'all informed. The Braves hired a manager today, Walt Weiss.
Former
Rockies manager. And he'd been on the Braves bench since 2018, I think. Yeah. So it made sense to kind of keep it within. Yeah.
And I saw last week the Giants got the Tennessee's coach.
That is fascinating. First time ever a college head coach has made the transition to major league, major league manager. The next year, it's the first time, it's unprecedented territory, and it'll be fascinating to watch. I was texting our good friend Cameron Screeton, who is a college baseball coach himself, because in the college game, you either have the old school guys that are, you know, the first guy gets on, you're bunting, regardless who's hitting second. You bunt a lot. But I asked him, like, is he one of the old school guys, or is he one of, you know, hit the three-run homer types? And he said he is. Very, very new school. Everyone was hitting bombs. Everyone was throwing 95 miles an hour. And he's got a little edge to him to the point where he is like his team anyway is kind of screaming at the other team, taunting them a little bit, which that won't fly really in Major League Baseball. But I guess he kind of joins in himself. So he's a very fiery guy, and it'll be fascinating to watch that unfold. And I'm very excited to actually see it. And then the Washington Nationals hired a manager who is 33 years old. He is tied for the youngest manager in the history of baseball and the youngest since the 60s. So that'll also be interesting to watch.
And the Angels job still open, right?
The Angels job, I believe, is still open. I believe it's still open. I've heard they were interviewing some candidates that were a little surprising.
Yeah, I remember Pujols' name being thrown around.
Name is one, and there's another guy. I think they hired a manager. It was Kurt Suzuki. Former player who was just playing, 3 years ago, maybe. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they had Kurt Suzuki, that'll be – and she was a former Angel.
All jobs are filled then.
I think
– Well, the Rockies, I don't think have hired anybody.
San Diego hasn't either.
Yeah, I don't think the Rockies have. The Padres haven't. The dude that was the interim this year. I don't know. I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen anything on the Rockies. Yeah, San Diego's still open too. So there's a couple jobs, but
okay. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, we won't have much baseball here for the next foreseeable future anyway, unless something big happens, which you never know.
Yeah. Well, you want to get into Big Ten hoops?
Let's do it, man.
Get right into it. Yeah. I got blind rankings. And I gotta get my notebook out here. So I, with the think of the help, I should say, of AI, hopefully it's right. I didn't fact check it. I got the list of all the preseason Big Ten players of the year dating back to the 2005-06 season.
Beautiful.
And I picked five from there. So, and you can rank them, I don't care, however you want. You can rank them how you liked them, how you hated them, best player. Don't care, but I want you to throw out what your criteria is after I give you this first
guy. Okay.
And the first guy is Jared Solinger.
I'm going to put this on how good they are. Okay. Because if it was a likability contest, I probably would want to rank them all five. that's my guess. Man, Solinger was great. He was a two and done. His freshman year was all world. his sophomore year was just as good, but because of how good his freshman year was, it felt like he had a down sophomore year. I'm going to do the cop out and put him three.
He was a preseason player of the year 2011 and 12. And that was the year they made the Final Four that year. They did not his freshman year.
So. Barely remember them making the Final Four.
Yep. Manny Harris, he was back-to-back.
Oh, man, Michigan.
Player of the year, 08, 09, 09, 2010.
I don't think he ever actually won it, though, at the end of the season.
I don't believe he did.
Manny was good. He played in the NBA for a little bit as well. I'm going to put him five.
Five?
I just feel like there's some better players on that list.
Luka Garza, 2020-2021, okay. Preseason player of the year.
I have a hard time not putting him one, but I might put him one. I think I'm going to put him one. He was awesome. He was so good.
And it hurts you to say something nice about an Iowa guy. I know it does.
It does. He and Kofi had some really good battles. Kofi usually got the better of him as far as winning goes. But, man, Luka was good.
Throwing back the clock a little bit on this one, 07-08, Drew Neitzel.
I'm going to put him four. Good college point guard. Could shoot it. Really good passer. Just seemed like one of your typical Izzo kind of guys.
Yep, he was a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, this guy was also a back-to-back preseason player of the year, 2015, 2016, 2016, 2017. One of your favorites, Melo Trimble.
Oh, boy. I'm okay with him, too, then. yeah, didn't like Melo. He did the little head. He was the first guy I remember seeing it. Now everyone's doing it. I'm sure he wasn't the trailblazer. But he was
like the Big Ten country. He was though.
Definitely was. He was a good point guard, a re-rank. I think I'd only swap out Sullinger and Trimble. I think if Sullinger two, Trimble three, I think that's a pretty fair list. I think Garza,
you're good with Neitzel over Harris.
Yeah, I'm good with Neitzel over Harris. Garza, I think, is a very clear number one in that scenario, in my opinion. Good list.
Others I could have went with, but I didn't. D. Brown, 05, 06. Orlando Tucker, 06, 07.
Lockport native.
Kalen Lucas, 2010 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Zeller, 2012, 13. Gary Harris, 13, 14. Frank Kaminsky, 14, 15.
Yeah.
Miles Bridges, 17, 18. Carson Edwards, 18, 19. Cassius Winston, 19, 20. Mm-hmm. Kofi Coburn, 21, 22.
Seriously? Hunter, he was?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that at all.
According to AI, like I said, I didn't fact check.
I think he was, and that's when Edie kind of took off is when he is that season.
Hunter Dickinson, 22-23.
He stunk.
And Zach won it that year. Edie in 23-24, which he won it. And Braden Smith last year, which he won.
Johnny Davis won it the Kofi year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think of those, the only person I'd put over Garza is Edie. That's it. And even that, it's a harder choice than a lot of things would be. Because Garza was so good, but he's not really remembered all that well.
It's probably just because the Iowa teams didn't win like they should have. I mean, they were two seed. But
Edie was, a top 10 pick where I think Luka went in the second round. He's still hanging around, though, in the NBA. Good list. I liked it.
Yep. And that is the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by, like is every week, has been every week in 2025, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group is over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Preseason Big Ten basketball preview show. Do you want to go 18-1 or you want to go 1-18?
18-1.
All right, beautiful. Who you got finishing last?
I got the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Me too. Yeah, they have eight freshmen coming in, and they did pick up transfer Sasa Siani from UIC, who averaged 10-8 last year. They'll be bad. I think they'll struggle to win double digit games.
And I don't know on top of my head if Purdue plays there or not, but I still hate playing to Bryce Jordan. I mean, they shellacked Purdue last year there.
I remember that. I remember that. That was weird.
I shut it off early. I didn't watch second half.
Yeah. Illinois luckily did not have to play at the Bryce Jordan Center last year. They killed them in Illinois. That was without KJ. Yakachonis, he was hurt or something. They beat him by, I think it was 39. I think it was 90-51. But the year before is when they played at that stupid volleyball arena and blew a 14-point lead with like 7 minutes left and lost to him. So still hate him. But yeah, I think they'll stink.
Who don't you hate?
Nah, no one. I hate them all.
Maybe the West Coast teams because they're too new.
I don't like UCLA. I don't like Mick Cronin. Washington, I guess, might be the team that I hate the least.
The least. Okay. Yeah. Who do you got 17?
I have Rutgers.
I got the Rutgers Scarlet Knights as well, even though with Pikul, they're still scary.
Yeah. Last year, they were arguably the most disappointing team in the Big Ten. I mean, you had Harper and you had Bailey and you lose those guys. Yeah. Now it's a whole new roster, essentially. They did pick up Darren Buchanan. Forward from George Washington, averaged 10 and 6. Tariq Francis from NJIT, averaged 19 a game last year. I think he's on, I would say, the hottest seat in the Big Ten
probably
heading into this season, looking around the league. So him
be
or JT.
Careful what you wish for, though, there. I mean,
definitely. I mean, we remember the Eddie Johnson days, and those were ugly.
Yeah.
Unless he played John Gross.
I am not looking forward to going to Jersey Mike's, formerly known as the Rack. That is Purdue's. Not it's not that location is not really their nemesis anymore. They've won the last two trips there. What I'm trying to say is that's their first Big Ten game this year, and December's on the road. He always loses that December road game. Northwestern, Nebraska. Yeah. This year it's Rutgers. So I'm already chalking one up. Watch for the court storm. So
yeah, was the Ron Harper buzzer beater? Was that in December or was that in later in the year?
That was in December when Purdue just became ranked
number one. Yeah, that's right.
For the first time. Yeah.
Yeah. Who you have finishing 16th?
I got the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
I do too. Nico Medved from Colorado State, really good basketball coach. They got a bunch of transfers coming in. Bobby Durkin from Davidson, 13 a game last year. BJ Omoff from Cal, 10 a game last year. Langston Reynolds from Northern Colorado, 16 a game. Chauncey Willis from Western Michigan, he averaged 16 points and 5 assists. So, completely different team, and I anticipate them being much more competitive than they were under Ben Johnson.
And Cade Tyson from North Carolina, another big
yes. Got. Yep. So,
yep. Who you got 15?
I have Northwestern.
I got Nebraska.
Okay. Northwestern, they did lose Barnheiser to the NBA, but they do return Martinelli, who I believe will probably lead the league in scoring this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of all they have. They did get a transfer from Holy Cross, who has a freshman last year, Max Green, averaged 14 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Jaden Reed from South Florida, 12 points a game. But Chris Collins teams usually outplay where they're supposed to be. Absolutely. So I wouldn't be surprised if they finish in the top 12. You know.
Yep. Trey Singleton, top 100 freshman. I know Purdue was going after him pretty hard, so he should be pretty good for them. But I got Northwestern 14th.
Okay.
So. I don't know if you want me to hit on Nebraska or where you have Nebraska.
I have Nebraska 13th, so not too far off.
Well, Rink Mask, if he's healthy, he's a problem.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. Can he stay healthy? They also got a lot of transfers. Let's see here. They got.
I would like
that
you
to, one.
I would like you to try. It's Ugnius. Yaroshevich.
Yeah, from Central Michigan.
Yeah.
19 and points. Even their returning junior, Burke. Nope.
Nope.
I'll spell it. B-U-Y-U-K-T-U-N-C-E-L.
I don't even remember him, honestly.
He's one of the best defenders in the league, according to CBS. So,
I also picked up Price Sanford from Nebraska.
Yep. And Connor Seagen, of course. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Hoiberg. You're talking about hot seat. I keep thinking he might be hot on the hot seat. But
yeah, but then it seems like he always gets on the hot seat, and then he has a year where they either make the tourney or get close, and he kind of survives. Yeah. So that wouldn't be that wouldn't surprise me if it happens this year.
So who do you, going back to 15? Who do you have at 15?
I have Northwestern.
Who do you have 14?
I have Maryland.
Okay, they're my 12.
at 14. Buzz Williams, they have an all-new roster, which is typical when you hire a new coach in the transfer portal era. They did pick up Miles Rice, a point guard from Indiana, and Pharrell Payne, former Minnesota big guy who played at Texas A&M last year. He brought a handful of guys from A&M, and I don't really like the guy, but he's a program builder. I think
he's a good basketball
coach. He is. I think it might not be great the first 2 years, but by year three, I think I'll have him in the NCAA tourney. Which is tough to do in today's landscape because you need to be good right away, or you either get fired or guys transfer out. So it'll be interesting to see how he does it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really have much more to add than that. Maryland will be a pain eventually.
Yeah, they will, and they've always been a pain, regardless of who coached at them at Maryland for Illinois. So,
who do you got 13?
I have Nebraska 13th.
Nebraska. I got Washington at 13. Danny Sprinkle, second year at Washington. They got a lot of transfers. They got Wesley Yates, the third.
He was a stud at USC.
Yep. Desmond Claude.
Also from USC.
Kwamari Peterson and four-star freshman J.J. Mandaquit, I believe. Is that how you say his name? So, I don't know what their depth's like, though.
On paper, this might be a top seven roster talent-wise in the Big Ten.
They got
10.
A freshman, German freshman guard, Haynes Steinbach, supposedly really good.
Yeah.
They
also picked up transfer from Rutgers, Lathan Somerville, who was their big guy. He had some good games last year, as well as Jacob Ognasevich, who had 20-8. Last year at Lipscomb, that's what he averaged. Kwamar Peterson, as you said, 19 a game. And they picked up Bryson Tucker from Indiana. So they have a lot of talent.
And I was just saying, don't know about depth. And right here, it's noted that he could play 12 to 13 guys. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like a pretty pretty depth-filled roster. You should be able to be – or pretty depth-filled, pretty deep roster.
I know what you meant. Sounded good to me.
But, yeah.
Yep.
I have them finishing 11th.
Okay.
And then I have a USC finishing 12th.
I have them 9th.
He's a good basketball coach whose name's escaping me.
Musselman,
yes. Good basketball coach, but he did lose his two best players in Desmond Claude and Wesley Yates to Washington.
That's so weird. It's weird.
Yeah, but he did pick up Rodney Rice from Maryland, who killed Illinois in the Big Ten tourney last year.
So I want to interject real quick. And I know we follow Big Ten closer than any other conference. Seems to me there's more interconference transferring to Big Ten than any other conference.
I agree. And it's weird. I don't like it. I mean, back in the day when there was no portal, I mean, a coach would never. He'd always block Big Ten teams.
Yep.
But now it's just kind of normal.
It didn't you could still do it, but you had to walk on, essentially pay your own way.
I think so.
Or something like that.
I think so.
Nobody ever did that. So.
No. And then it became, it's kind of wrong for a coach to you know, block a guy from playing somewhere else. And so it kind of then it's just snowballed. Transformed into this thing. So
free agency.
But they also have 40-year-old Chad Baker Mazzara from Auburn, who's been around forever coming there. So they should be okay.
Are we on my 11th then? Is that where
who did you have 12th?
Maryland.
You had Maryland 12th. Okay. Who'd you have 11th?
I have Indiana.
I have Indiana 10th. So,
okay. We can hit on them then. Whole new roster.
Yeah.
Whole new coaching staff. Dylan DeFries. Is that his name? Dylan? Darren? Darren DeFries? What's the coach's name? Darian DeFries. I know Tucker DeFries is the son played. I'm like, what's his first name?
Yeah.
Haven't heard a lot about IU because their football team is doing so well. Yeah. You haven't heard their fans chatting about basketball. They don't want to think about basketball right now. I asked three loyal IU football and basketball fans that I know on Saturday, and they're all older than us. I mean, so, you know, I asked them, would you trade your football success right now to be a solid, consistent basketball program, be ranked number one in the country? They all said no.
Wow.
So, take that for what it's worth.
Interesting.
So, but they got Tucker DeFries, Lamar Wilkerson. They are professional net shredders, according to CBS. Oh. 6'10 big man Reed Bailey. They are comparing him to former Michigan star Danny Wolf. That's a name I kind of forgot about already.
Yeah.
They said, keep an eye on point guard Troy transfer Tayton Connerway and DePaul transfer Connor Enright. They said, when Indiana's three-pointers are dropping, the Hoosiers could beat anyone in the league, but a shaky rim defense could lead to some rocky moments. Florida transfer big man Sam Alexis needs to be an asset. That's what they got shooters now, at least on paper.
That's nice.
But they have no big men.
Yeah. When you bring in a new coach, it's going to be fun to watch just because you don't know how they're going to look. They looked pretty solid against Baylor in their exhibition game. But again, it's an exhibition game. I'm sure Baylor was playing different guys, as was Indiana.
It was at Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
That too. They did bring in 11 transfers in total. It'll just be interesting to see how they all mesh together. Yep. I think it was probably a cop out for me to put them 10 because that's essentially right in the middle because you just don't know.
Yeah. And their non-conference schedule is not the strongest, but they do play Kentucky. Kentucky and Indiana back at it again after a
long hiatus. On campus or is it neutral?
I think it's neutral, but I'm checking that real
quick. That's a cop out too. I don't like that.
I think it's neutral, but I could be wrong. Let's see here. Men's basketball schedule. This is great audio here, Tanner. Good job. who else? They do play Marquette in Chicago coming up next week. They do play Kansas State at home. They do play Louisville in Indianapolis. Oh, no, it's in Lexington. Kentucky.
Oh, good for them. Good for them.
Yep. So, okay. It's tougher. It's not okay. Tough. Kentucky, Louisville, Kansas State, and Marquette. Better than I thought.
It's pretty good. Not bad.
Not bad. Way better than their football one is.
So. Doesn't matter. They just destroy everyone at this point.
That's true.
They honestly looked worse against those bad teams than they have against the good teams in the Big Ten, which is wild,
week one against Old Dominion, I think their fans are very concerned. But
even against Kennesaw State, they kind of struggled for a little bit too. Yeah. But we'll talk about them later. Who you have finishing 10th?
I got OHIO, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I have them 8. They're in a dogfight with IU Indy right now. I just checked; they're up 5 with 8 minutes left in the first half. So first 12 minutes have not been great. But I have them 8th.
And they're along with Purdue, I could argue, are the only teams in the conference that return their three best players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thornton, Devin Royal's back. They also picked up, forward Brandon Noel from Wright State, average 19-7 last year, and he can shoot the three ball.
Yep, John Mobley Jr. can get hot.
He can get hot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They got Christoph Tilly, 7-footer from Santa Clara,
mm-hmm.
who should be their big guy. So
if they miss the tourney, I wouldn't be surprised if Diebler, if they kind of cut ties with them. So,
yep.
But I have them.
They're talented enough to make it, but we'll see.
I agree. Who you have 9th?
USC.
I have Iowa 9th.
I got Iowa 7th.
Hmm. New coach Ben McCollum, great basketball coach. They'll be fascinating to watch after playing under Fran McCaffrey over the past, 15 years where they are.
Oh, I miss Fran, man.
High octane offense to now one of the slowest paces in the country in Ben McCollum. They have an absolute stud at point guard, Bennett Sturts, who was a stud for Drake last year under Ben McCollum. And it'll be just fun to watch to see how different they are. And I'm sure Ben McCollum at the moment is probably more likable than Fran. But man, I'm going to miss rooting against Fran. Yep. He was so much fun to root against.
The Franometer, seeing his head explode at all time was just great. And staring down referees.
It was just fitting that he got kicked out of his last game. It was just perfect ending for him.
Yep. I think McCollum's going to make Carver Hawkeye a pretty tough place to play.
I agree. I hate it.
Well, number 8, since we're just kind of jumping all over the place, I have Wisconsin. Number 8, and I'm probably doing what I always do, rank them worse than they're going to be.
I did the exact opposite, and I have them 6th. So last year, I think I had them 10th or 11th.
Oh, we both had them double digits last year.
Yeah, they were. In our defense, they were quite surprising to be good, but I don't think anyone saw the jump John Tonji was going to make. So, they do get John Blackwell and Nolan Winter back, and they picked up Nick Boyd from San Diego State, who's been around forever.
Austin Rapp's back too.
Yep. Andrew Rohde from Virginia, who averaged 9-4 last year. So this should be pretty dang good again.
Yep, yep. We'll see how good they are defensively. That'll be the big question with them. At six, I have Oregon.
I have Oregon fifth. I have Michigan State seventh, actually.
I got Michigan State fifth.
So talking about Oregon here, I have them fifth. You have them sixth. They get Shelstead back, Nate Biddle back. Also TK Simpkins from Elon, who averaged 16 points a game. Dana Altman's a really good basketball coach, and I fully anticipate them, vying for that double bye in the Big Ten.
The tough thing for me when predicting, more so basketball than football, the West Coast teams is the travel.
Yeah.
The travel takes its toll on these teams, and we saw it last year, and I think it's going to happen again. I don't know how you don't let it happen year in, year out.
It's a lot different with football, obviously, because you only have a certain amount of games. You don't have to travel. But, I mean, you could be out, east all week for 2-3 games even, to kind of knock them out. So, yeah, it's got to play a role. Has to.
Yep. Yep. So that's the reason why I got some of these teams ranked higher than maybe they really are, at least talent-wise. Yeah. But I thought about that in my strategy, too. So, yeah, I got the Ducks sixth, and I got the Spartans fifth.
I have Michigan State seventh. I'll probably have them lower than they'll probably end up. But they did lose Jaden Akins, Jace Richardson, Trey Holloman to the portal, Frankie Fiddler. They do return maybe the best dunker we've ever seen in the Big Ten and Cullen Carr. And point guard Jeremy Fears is really good. And they picked up Trey Fort from Samford, 14 points a game. Caleb Glenn from Florida Atlantic averaged 12-5 last year. So I fully anticipate them being very good.
Cam Ward's back. Feels like he's been there forever.
Yeah, does.
Yeah, you went over pretty much everybody else in my notes. So it's Tom Izzo. Can't count the guy out, even when he has the teams that aren't supposed to be.
Last year's team wasn't supposed to be that good, and they won the league. So
Yep. All right. Have you done your number five yet?
Oregon was my number five.
So we're in the top four, and we all have the four. We have the same four teams.
Same four. Who you have finishing fourth?
I got your Fighting Illini.
I'm third, so we're not too far off. Illinois, you obviously lose two top 20-something picks in Kasperis Jakaciunas and Will Riley. And then the portal hit, not as bad as it has in years past, but they did lose Merez Johnson to Michigan, which stunk. But Mo wasn't a great system fit for what Underwood wants to do. So I think they'll definitely miss his rebounding and his toughness down low. But supposedly he wants to shoot more outside shots, and that's why he's heading to Michigan, which is okay with me. But they did lose Trey White to Kansas, and then Dre Gibbs Lawhorn to UNLV, who had 31 in their exhibition game. So the message boards were real fun that night. But they do return arguably their two most important pieces that were going to return, and that's Kylan Boswell and Tommy Avisic. You look at stats from around the country, and the jump from a transfer from year one to year two is substantial. And so I'm expecting Boswell to have a fantastic year. He needs to. Tommy Avisic has a chance to be a first team all Big Ten kind of guy, averaged 13-7 last year. Great passer for his size, good shooter. Then they picked up Andre Stojakovic from Cal, Big Z Avisic, Tommy's twin brother in the portal, as well as David Mirkovic and Mihailo Petrovic from Europe. And they're very high on Keaton Wagler. They're a true freshman who could start tonight, it sounds like. But they are kind of banged up. Ty Rogers is hurt for likely the season. Stojakovic is a game-time decision tonight. He has a knee injury. And Mihailo Petrovic is going to be out at least a month with a hamstring. So I'm high on them, less high than I was last year's team. But I think this team has a much, much higher floor than last year's team. And I'm excited for the season start.
Yeah, I got nothing else to add. I was going to let you run with that one. So I wasn't going to try to pronounce some of those names. So,
yeah.
No, I remember looking at the roster. I'm like, ooh, Josh has some fun names to learn to pronounce this year.
Luckily, I've heard them pronounced once just from highlights of their exhibition game. University of Illinois basketball Twitter account actually put out a video of them all pronouncing their names so we'd be able to pronounce them. So that was also helpful.
Who did you have number four then?
I have UCLA finishing four.
I got them three, so we flipped them. Okay.
They return a good chunk of their roster led by Eric Daly, Sky Clark's back, Bilodeau.
Once again, the only reason I didn't put them at two is because of the travel.
Yeah, I think they'll be good. But again, Mick Cronin's the one that was whining and complaining all year last year about the travel. and it seemed to affect his roster. Yeah. I mean, they couldn't win east of the Mississippi forever last year.
Yeah.
And I think probably having a head coach that complained about it the whole time did not help his team at all. But this team set up to be really good. I mean, they picked up absolute stud point guard from New Mexico, Donovan Dent, who had 20 points a game and 6 assists last year on the season. So they'll be very, very good.
Yeah, just a second. My dog's ripping something up that he shouldn't be ripping up.
Johnny boy. I assume we have the same. Well, we obviously have the same top two. And I assume we have the correct order, too. I have Michigan finishing second in the Big Ten. They did lose Vlad Golden and Danny Wolf to the NBA. Point guard Trey Donaldson to the University of Miami transferred. But they got a great recruiting class. And as I said, picked up Merez Johnson. But their prize transfer was Yaxel Landeborg from UAB, who is an absolute beast. He thought about staying in the NBA draft, and I'm sure he's getting paid a ton of money here at Michigan for them this year. They also picked up Elliott Cadu in the portal. Guard play could be the thing that kind of holds Michigan back. I think they'll have a really good front court, their back court. Cadu's a fine point guard. He's not a shooter, can't shoot. So that's kind of black hole number one. And they have Roddy Gale still, who, again, not a great shooter at the two. He's a good athlete, decent scorer. I think the one thing that is going to hold Michigan back from really – I think they'll compete for a Big Ten title, especially in the again, in getting a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament. But I just don't believe in that backcourt enough to have them.
Yeah, I got Michigan too as well. From what I could hear, I think you hit on everything that I had. Yeah. Noted for them. So we both agree Purdue is our preseason favorite to win the Big Ten. They return a whole bunch of their scoring. They lost Miles Colvin to Wake Forest, Cam Heidi to Texas, Caleb First to graduation, and that's it. They return everybody else, including Braden Smith, Trey Kaufman-Wren, Fletcher Lawyer, who have been there for now going on 4 years, and they added some nice pieces. And South Dakota State big man Oscar Clough, starting center, backup center, 7'4" freshman Daniel Jacobson, only played game and a half last year, broke his leg. He's back in the mix. CJ Cox, Jakar Harris, sophomores, expecting them to take a big step forward. Omer, yes, it's like Homer. Omer Mayer, coming over, Israeli freshman, played a bunch of pro ball overseas. He should be ready to go. And, this is a deep team, talented team, experienced team, has all the makings to make a magical run for Purdue. And I will go on record and say, as long as they stay healthy, it is Indy or bust for me. If they fall short of the Final Four, it's a bummer of a year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Last year on, I had them finishing first in the Big Ten. Where'd they end up finishing? Sixth?
They did not have the double bye for the first time ever. So.
Yeah, and I wrote, need a big jump from Camden Heidi and Miles Colvin to make it happen. Didn't happen. I put, it would be nice for them to see a big leap from CJ Cox and Jakari Harris. So if they have bad years, you can blame me for that.
Yes, CJ Cox looks to be at least starting the year starting. Jakari Harris was their leading scorer the other night against the University of Indianapolis, their exhibition game. So, and he's the one that said whenever they watch pickup games this year, the writers and stuff, he was the one really highlighted. So we'll see. We'll see. Painter said he could play 12 guys, but he's not gonna.
He's not gonna. Yeah.
And it's hard for him to play 10. He likes that 9. So I don't know where that ends up. Riley Burgess, who played last year as a freshman, he's redshirting. He's also, I don't think, 100% healthy. And then Antonio West, he's a freshman, and going into tomorrow, there's no word if he's got a redshirt or not. Painter leaves it up to the kid. Not sure he wants the redshirt, but I don't know where the minutes are going to come from to play.
Right.
That's the thing. So hopefully he makes the right decision for himself.
You see coaches go 10, 12 deep in the regular season. Once March comes, they're going 8 deep at most, it seems like, for whatever reason.
So who do you have making the Final Four in your eventual national champion player of the year for Big Ten?
I have Braden Smith winning Big Ten player of the year, but the two guys I think will challenge him are Landeborg from Michigan, and I think Donovan Dent from UCLA are the two guys that could challenge him.
I went different for Braden just because I want to be different. I went with Trey Kaufman-Wren, Big Ten Player of the Year.
All right. Interesting. I know you're going to have Purdue in your Final Four, so I'm not. I'm going to choose Duke because Cam Boozer's putting on a show so far.
I got Duke.
And then I'm going to take Texas Tech.
I got Houston.
Absolute superstar. I think UConn gets back, unfortunately. And then I don't think Michigan will be good enough. Man. Sorry, I didn't do any prep work on this one at all. Even though I'm the one that said, hey, let's do this tonight. give me Florida. I think they vie for back-to-back.
I got Florida as well. I got Florida, Duke, Purdue, Houston.
All right.
So
I already forget who I chose.
You chose UConn,
Florida,
Duke.
UConn, Duke, and Texas Tech.
Texas Tech, yep.
Which a week from tomorrow, Illinois hosts Texas Tech already. It's crazy how that just pops you in the face immediately. College basketball just starts, and bam, you got a top 10 team.
At least Illinois hosts some. Purdue goes on the road at Tuscaloosa next Thursday. Alabama, that's right now. I won't be able to watch a game. Thanks to Disney and YouTube TV both being
great. Oh, it's on ESPN, so, huh?
ESPN 2. Yep.
Interesting. Illinois only has one ESPN game. It's against Tennessee next month. So hopefully they'll get a deal done. It's all Disney. They want people to subscribe to Hulu, and they want people to subscribe to the ESPN app. That's what I'm going on. I hate ESPN. Hate Disney. Hate them all.
I don't care for, you know, I don't like the Cowboys and could care less about the Cardinals. I'd still like to watch Monday Night Football tonight. I like to watch Manning Cast. I can't.
Forgot about Monday Night Football, honestly. It does help that my team plays tonight, the basketball team.
But my big complaint is, like, as a football fan, we only get so many games, especially in college, a year, so many weekends, and you're ruining it.
Yep.
There was games on ESPN I wanted to watch Saturday.
They do not care about
us. It
just
drives me nuts.
And their ESPN's even sending their like top guys out, hey, you need to go complain to YouTube. No. You guys are all billionaires. Could not care less about you crying poor. You're screwing us over. And it just it pisses me off. So
it's infuriating.
Yep. We got still a lot more to hit. So let's go pick some Big Ten games.
Let's do it.
Quick. As far as football, that is.
Yeah.
Northwestern at USC.
Yeah, USC is ranked number 20. I don't know what the spread is. I'm pulling it up. I got USC for 6.
I have USC for 6 as well. IU at Penn State.
I got I got IU for 5.
I have IU for 2. Penn State hung in there against Ohio State for a half.
They got talent. They will be amped up for this game, but
yeah.
USC's 14.5-point favorites. Indiana's also 14.5-point favorites.
I have IU for 2. Oregon at Iowa.
Number 6, Oregon. I got Oregon for 2. They are 5.5-point favorites. I wouldn't be surprised if Iowa beats them, but I'm taking Oregon for 2.
I have Oregon for 4. Nebraska at UCLA.
UCLA's a 2.5-point favorite, but I'm taking Nebraska for 3, even with their backup quarterback.
Even without Dylan Raiola. Taking Nebraska for 3 as well. I chose that before I saw Raiola was hurt. Washington at Wisconsin.
Number 24, Washington. They are 11.5-point favorites. I'm taking the Huskies for 4.
I have Washington for 5. Ohio State at Purdue.
Ohio State is a 28.5-point favorite. Actually, nope, 29 now. Went up a point. 29.5-point favorite. I got Ohio State for 7. Interesting fact here. First time in our lifetime, the number one ranked team goes into Ross State Stadium. Last time was 1989.
No kidding. Wow. Yeah, Ohio State for 7. This has ugly potential.
It does.
Maryland at Rutgers.
At least Saturday wasn't ugly for me. So
I am thoroughly unimpressed with Bryce Underwood. Have been all year.
Rutgers for 1.
I have Rutgers for 1 as well. Top 25 games, BYU at Texas Tech. It's the game day game, I believe. Not that we'll be able to watch it.
Give me
Tech at home. Number 3, Texas A&M at number 19, Missouri.
A&M.
Give me A&M on the road. Navy at Notre Dame. Navy's 7-1, but Notre Dame's 25.5-point favorites.
Navy just lost the first game of the year to North Texas. Give me Notre Dame.
Yeah, give me Notre Dame. I think they cover. So,
yep.
Let's see. Do you want to be educated here real quick? I'm glad my site is loading because it was not loading earlier. On this day in 1911, Chevrolet officially enters the automobile market in competition with the Ford Model T.
1911. Wow.
Nothing to add.
You're lagging on my end.
All right, is that better?
I can hear you.
Still not good. You can hear me. My video is just not good.
You're good now. I think we're caught up now.
All right. Yeah, for some reason on this day it was not working, so I had to exit out of that. I don't know if you wanted to pull it up real quick.
Sure.
Because on this day it was not loading very fast for me.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know if it's loading. Here we go. Chevrolet. Did you do any after that?
I did the Lou Gehrig one. That was it, though. The Triple Crown.
1934. Okay. Mm-hmm. On his day, 1942, Ted Williams won the American League Triple Crown. 356 average, 36 home runs, 137 RBIs. But Joe Gordon of the Yankees was the AL MVP.
That's stupid.
Mm-hmm. On his day, 1962, San Francisco Warriors center Wilt Chamberlain scored 72 points in 127-115 defeat to the LA Lakers. Mm. It was then the fourth highest point total in NBA history, remains the sixth highest game total. On his day, 1973, BYU receiver Jay Miller set an NCAA football single-game record with 22 catches for 263 yards en route to a 56-21 victory over New Mexico. Wow. On this day, 1982, San Diego guard Randy Smith played his 845th consecutive game in the Clippers' 130-111 loss in Philadelphia. He passed Johnny Red Kerr's NBA record, goes on to play in 906 straight games.
Guys will play four games in a row and then take one off for load management these days.
Yep. On this day, 1985, Bill Elliott won the Atlanta Journal 500 at Atlanta Raceway to become the first driver to win 11 super speedway races in one season. Also, the first driver to win $2 million in prize money in a single season. That's like a race now.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy.
On this day, 1987, Oakland A's first baseman Mark McGwire won the American League Rookie of the Year award with 49 home runs, 118 RBIs. Second to win the AL award unanimously. First was Carlton Fisk in 1972. On this day, 1989, Lou Piniella was named manager of the Cincinnati Reds, replacing Pete Rose, who was banned for life for gambling on MLB games.
It turned out all right for the Reds and Lou Piniella.
Also on this day, 1989, NBA expansion team Minnesota Timberwolves made their NBA debut, losing 106-94 against the Seattle Supersonics. Bring them back. Wow. On this day in 1990, TCU quarterback Mark Volger completed 44 passes, including 5 touchdowns, for an NCAA record 690 passing yards and 56-35 loss to Houston.
Oh, that's brutal.
Houston quarterback David Klinger threw for 7 touchdowns. If you like air show, that game was for you.
Definitely. No defense. It's like an old school arena game.
On this day, 1993, Greg Maddux became the first pitcher since Sandy Koufax to win the NL Cy Young in successive MLB seasons. First in successive seasons for different teams. 92 with the Cubs, 93 with the Braves.
There's a lot of people that never forgave the Cubs for not signing him.
On this day, 1994, small forward Glenn Big Dog Robinson signed a then the most lucrative rookie contract in NBA history, a 10-year, $68.15 million deal with the Milwaukee Bucks.
He had a pretty good career.
Yeah, not too bad. Probably not as good as he was hyped to be coming out of college, but still. On this day, 1996, Los Angeles Lakers superstar Kobe Bryant became the then youngest player to make his NBA debut, 18 years, 2 months, 11 days, a 91-85 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Also on this day, 1996, San Francisco 49er wide receiver Jerry Rice grabbed three passes for 45 yards and a touchdown to become the first player in NFL history to reach 1,000 career receptions. 24-17 win over New Orleans Saints. Finished his career with 1,549 receptions. On this day, 1999, the LA Lakers had their debut game at the Staples Center. On this day in 2007, Navy beat Notre Dame 46-44 in triple overtime, ending the Fighting Irish's NCAA football record winning streak against the Midshipmen at 43 games. Navy's last win before that was 1963.
Then they won 2 years later at Notre Dame, and I was at that game.
Yes, I knew you were at one of those.
That was the second one.
On this day, 2013, Nick Foles connected with Riley Cooper three times to become the seventh player in NFL history with seven touchdown passes in a game during the Philadelphia Eagles' 49-20 win over the then Oakland Raiders. Foles was 22-28 for 406 yards on that day.
Pretty good day.
And that is it for the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it has been every week in 2025, by Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts. Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first order. We are in November now. Christmas is a month and a half away.
Crunch time.
Get your orders in. I've already bought a Christmas gift. Have you, J-Man?
Oh, heck no. No.
Why did I expect anything different?
Three winners, three losers.
You can start us off.
Baltimore Ravens are a winner. They get Lamar back. That defense looked great. I think they'll end up winning that division.
You and my dad both think they're going to win that division. The Buffalo Bills beating the Chiefs, even though they tried their best to lose that game, beating the Chiefs, that's what they do during the regular season. Can they do in the postseason if they're going to match up? Hopefully they won't match up. Chiefs are now 5-4.
Means nothing to me at this point. Chicago Bears, they found a way to win a miracle game, but the Lions and Packers also lost, so that helps.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
They made Daniel Jones' life not fun yesterday.
Yeah. The regression is hitting for old DJ.
That was only one game, but we'll see.
Don't care. I've seen 7 years before this to know what's coming. 49ers. They're good.
I'm going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars winning a game in overtime in which Cam Little hit a 68-yard
record.
Dude has a leg.
Yeah. Losers, the Green Bay Packers. That was pathetic. That was absolutely pathetic. Credit the Panthers. They should have been on my winners list, but that was bad.
I'm putting the Lions losing at home to J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. Washington Commanders, they're arguably the most disappointing team in the NFL, and now you're without your quarterback, I would say, for the rest of the year at this point.
Why he was in? At
yeah,
that they're point getting in the game,
destroyed.
Blows my mind.
Yeah.
Yep. They are bad. The Broncos are supposed to play at Washington in like 3 weeks on Sunday night. I bet that gets flexed out.
It might. Yeah. Well, the NFC East also reigns supreme. So
that's true. Another loser for me. You already hit on this in your winner, but the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Great comeback. Get the lead, but that worst defense in the NFL. They're worse than the Cowboys.
Oh, for sure. New Orleans Saints. They stink. Tyler Shuck is going to be a one and done there, even though he's just a second round pick.
They'll be picking number one in the draft.
I think so, too.
And I forget the guy's name off the top of my head. The Atlanta Falcons kicker.
Parker Romo. Left,
and they lost by one in a win they really needed.
Yeah, definitely. Thursday night, Vegas at Denver.
Yes, I got the Broncos for 14. I'm feeling really good about this one.
I have the Broncos for 13. Falcons at Indianapolis.
It's in Berlin, this game. I'm taking the Colts for 9.
I have the Colts for 12. Giants at the Chicago Bears.
I got the Bears for 8.
I have the Bears for 11. Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins.
I got the Bills for 13.
I have the Bills for 14. Baltimore Ravens at the Minnesota Vikings.
I got the Ravens for 7, and I hate that I put it that high.
I have the Ravens for 6, so I'm right there with you. Cleveland, stink fest here. Cleveland Browns at the New York Jets.
I got the Jets for 4. I don't know why.
I have the Jets for 3. Cleveland stinks. New England Patriots at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I got the Bucs for 6, but once again, I hate that I got it that high.
I don't believe in this Patriots team, nor do I believe in Drake May. Give me the Bucs for 10. New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers.
I got the Panthers for 11.
I have the Panthers for 9. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Houston Texans.
I got the Texans for 5, but that's assuming Stroud can play.
I have the Texans for 4. I don't think Jacksonville's very good. Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks.
Seahawks for 10. Seahawks are good.
They are good. I have Seahawks for 5. Rams at San Francisco.
Got the Rams for 3.
This will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. I have the Rams for 2. I think they go on the road and get it done. J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, Farm Insurance, Contact Reps 219-869-4561.
And I know I change my tune every week on this, but right now Matthew Stafford would be my MVP pick.
Yeah, definitely. The past couple weeks, he's been awesome. Mm-hmm. Detroit Lions at the Washington Commanders.
Lions for 12.
I have Lions for 8. Pittsburgh Steelers at the LA Chargers.
I got the Steelers for 1. Chargers can't stay healthy. I like the Steelers defense to travel.
Give me the Chargers for 7. Philadelphia Eagles at the Green Bay Packers.
I got the Packers for 2. I don't think they lose back-to-back home games, but the Eagles, man, their front office making trade after trade after trade.
Yeah, they're very good. I have the Packers for 1. Birdie or bogey, who was the last player to win National Player of the Year and win a national title in the same season? They beat a Big Ten opponent in the
National. I'm going to go, this is probably off, I'm going back 2009 when North Carolina beat Michigan State with Tyler Hansbrough.
I'm sorry, but you are once again incorrect. It is it is Jalen Brunson in 2000, whatever year that was, 18.
Didn't even come to my mind.
Yeah, so thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. Have a fantastic first week of November. Enjoy some college basketball. We'll see you next week, everybody.